55-34. Arkansas picks up their first victory against an FBS team since last October and their second win of this season under Chad Morris. And we welcome you inside our Cherokee Casino studios for Hog Reaction. I'm Phil Elson. And Ty Richardson in the ESPN Arkansas studios. Brenton Jennings on the phones today, so make sure you dial it up, get it ready to go. We are live on the air. 877-377-6963 is the Cherokee Casino hotline. We appreciate all that are tuning in right now as you're heading home from Razorback Stadium, or maybe you're headed out around Northwest Arkansas or somewhere else across this lovely state. Appreciate those on 99.5 listening in Northwest Arkansas, also 95.3 in the River Valley, 96.3 in Hot Springs, and 104.3 in Harrison. So do you feel good about this victory? I think you definitely do, because you finally saw the offense that has been advertised for a while now. And what can you say about a great performance from Nick Starkel, put under the spotlight, first start at Arkansas, and becomes the first Razorback quarterback to throw for over 300 yards since the final game of the Brett Bielema era. Isn't that amazing to say, Ty? Austin Allen threw for 300 yards his last game as a Razorback. It's the first time it's happened under Chad Morris. Definitely not the last, though.
That's a Phil Elson stat right there. That's something Phil went back in and looked up and did the research on, so I got to give him credit for that. Phil, this, what have we talked about the past couple weeks? When is the offense going to become what we've been waiting on since Chad Morris arrived in Fayetteville? You saw that tonight. You saw it. And it wasn't for a full game, because there was a period in the third quarter and towards the end of the first half where they stumbled a little bit. But you saw what the offense looked like. And Nick Starkel had himself a game. And there was a lot of other players that we're going to get to, but it's just, fans have just been waiting on this for so long, and I know it was against a Mountain West opponent. You haven't done it against a conference one yet. But, man, it's like a weight off your shoulders to a certain degree when it comes to what this offense can do.
Now, remember, one of the topics we got to is that you wanted to see a win no matter what, but a 6-0 victory would be different than, I think, if the score that I pulled out was like 46-40. But to see them put up 55 points, and really, I mean, this was a tie game at the start of the fourth quarter. This is a game that Arkansas won in the fourth quarter with 21 unanswered points. A lot of big plays, really, on both sides of the line of scrimmage. You had, I don't even know how to describe C.J. O'Grady's 62-yard touchdown catch and run. I mean, he looked like he broke about six different tackles over the run. It was an incredible performance by O'Grady on that one play, and a great throw by Nick Starkel to give him the room to do that. And Ladarius Bishop with the fumble recovery and touchdown run. You had Devwa Whaley finish off the drive that gave you the lead, and a drive that Nick Starkel went 4 of 5 and was firing on all cylinders. This was a game that was won in the fourth quarter, and it was won offensively in the fourth quarter as well. And so, yes, you definitely look, Starkel 20 for 35, 305 yards, and in the fourth quarter, Starkel was 5 for 7 for 120 yards, had the 62-yarder to O'Grady. That was his one touchdown, and Arkansas outgains Colorado State in the fourth quarter, 140 yards to 34, even though the Rams got off 17 snaps and the Hogs got off 14. It was like a reverse of last year, even though Colorado State never held. They did hold the lead, of course. I guess we'll get to that later with the second play from scrimmage. Kinsey runs that 75-yarder. But where State last year was the team that was so much stronger in the fourth quarter, this time around, it's Arkansas.
Two things stand out to me that we can kick off in this segment. One, red zone efficiency. Two, finishing the football game. How many times in the Chad Morris, and we'll even go back to the Brett Bielema era, did this team choke away, and not particularly this team, but Arkansas as a football team, choke away a game in the fourth quarter? Instead, this team responded. You have Nick Starkel marching that football team down at a 34-34 ball game, put them up a touchdown. Then you have the C.J. O'Grady touchdown where he, as you mentioned, broke a ton of tackles. At one point, there was 5 guys that attempted to tackle him. A couple guys attempted it twice. He broke at least 7 tackles in that sequence and plowed through. This is a guy that Chad Morris at SEC Media Days said has the potential to be the best tight end in the country. Well, he showed a glimpse of that today. He showed why he has so much ability when it comes to being on the football field. Now it's a matter of staying on the football field and not doing things off it that tick your coaches off. And then the last part, when you have Hayden Henry coming from his linebacker spot, making a play, forcing a fumble, Ladarius Bishop goes 25 yards and takes it to the house, and you finish the game. You got finishing, then you look to last season, 70th in red zone efficiency last year. They go 4-for-4 today, 3 touchdowns, 1 field goal. I know Chad Morris and Joe Craddock would like to go 4-for-4 in terms of touchdowns, but to be able to convert in the red zone, a stat they were not good at last season, even to this point this season, like 66%, so they haven't been great up to this point. It speaks to how much better the offense looked today with Nick Starkel at the helm, Phil.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's all about who's leading the charge. You had some of those same playmakers out there, but don't underestimate getting O'Grady back onto the field. The fact that you were able to run the ball with Rakeem Boyd and Devwa Whaley, I think that was big to get Whaley back going again. 81 yards on 9 carries. Of course, you look to Boyd, who gained 127 on 20 carries, had that 59-yard run right up the middle, 2 touchdowns for Boyd. So you were able to do it both ways, 227 yards on the ground, 305 yards in the air, and a nice grand total of over 500 yards, 520 yards of offense for Arkansas in the victory today. We want you to get with us, react on Hog Reaction. That's why it's called that, 877-377-6963 to get with us. We'll hold the phone calls until the next segment, but we do have some texts that have come in because that line is good for a call or for a text. And let's start with Justin in Ocala. Says, best fourth quarter in the last few years. Love the fight in these guys. Yeah, they did show some fight, again, on both sides. How nervous were you when the freshman kicker with the most Colorado name in kicking history, Camper, lines up for what would have given the Rams a fourth quarter lead, a 50-yard field goal? The kid no doubt's got the leg to do it, just barely missed it, and from that point on, it was all Arkansas. W. in Wickles says that CJ run, he wants to watch it again. Their own guys hit their own guys, knocked them off 3 times. It was great. Text from Doug in the 501. Starkel is a stud. We won't see Hicks again this season. Extremely pleased with how it ended, but these coaches have got to stop slowing down the speed. It's allowing our opponents to stay in the game. Nonetheless, great win that these players had to have. And yeah, there was a lot of that tempo, and you could see when they did get going, they were clicking a little bit. It looked like Nick Starkel did call out a lot of right plays. It looked like he was a lot more comfortable offensively than when he was thrown in to the second half last week, and admittedly a couple of plays that might have cost Arkansas against the Rebels.
Yeah, absolutely. This is here's the takeaway. I think you can look at him looking more comfortable. One, it's an inferior opponent. This is not Ole Miss. I'm not going to put up Ole Miss as just one of these high-flying SEC defenses that's an Alabama or an LSU, but it's still considerably better than what Colorado State has to offer on defense. But think about this. Everyone was so ticked at Chad Morris and Joe Craddock for not starting Nick Starkel the first 2 weeks. What did I talk to you about this week, Phil? The fact that the two biggest mess-ups last week, who was playing quarterback? Nick Starkel. You got to wait on the rest of the season, but it could be a blessing in disguise that he wasn't thrown in week one and thrown into the fire. And you're like, Ty, Portland State's not the fire, but it's the starting quarterback role. He was eased into it. Like, his confidence now, I think, after this game is going to be at an all-time high. It wasn't at Portland State when he threw that interception and then had the clock mismanagement issue. And then also, it wasn't really at Ole Miss. Now, he played okay at Ole Miss. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. But coming off today's game, I think it's at an all-time high. So you can look at it. You can look at it as a positive or negative. Say, why wasn't Starkel starting week one? And you can look at it as, well, he kind of wanted to ease into it a little bit. It's kind of a catch-22, but that's kind of what I took away, that maybe you can take more positives and negatives now that he seems more confident with the offense because he's had a couple more weeks to get it under his belt. I know he wasn't getting those reps in practice, but at least he's getting more time to adjust to what Chad Morris and Joe Craddock want from him at the quarterback position.
Your reaction on the Cherokee Casino Hotline, that is 877-377-6963, brought to you by Cherokee Casino and Hotel. Every Saturday in September, light up the night with their fabulous $68,000 Vegas Nights. Get with us with a phone call or a text. We want to hear from you. Arkansas wins 55-34 over Colorado State. We'll have your phone calls and your texts coming up after the break on Hog Reaction.
Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light, broadcasting live from the Cherokee Casino Mobile Studios.
Hog Reaction on the air. Let's go to our Cherokee Casino hotlines. They are hot. They are ready to go. And first up today is Eddie in Clarksville. Eddie, I know you got that bell ringing today.
You're exactly right, sir. As I'm coming down 40, and I'm saying, Lordy, Lordy, thank the good Lord. And I'm ringing the bell. Listen to this. And the team stepped up and answered the bell in a big way tonight. And the bell is ringing. I'm going to tell you this. What about the young freshman on the offensive line, Mr. Ricky Schomburg? Find a way to block, son. What about the 1-2 punch and Whaley and Mr. Raheem Boyd? What about the young receivers, the freshman and Trey Knox? I could not be happier. And Mr. So excited, I lost concentration. But Mr. Trey Knox, I mean, and the new freshmen that stepped up and caught the ball tonight, hats off to you. This fan base, I tell you what, when I left Oxford last Saturday night, it was a long ride back Sunday. And over the decades, I must have covered 1,000,000 miles. And I coined the phrase Hog Delight and Hog Train a few years back. And I'm asking a fan base, are you aboard the Hog Train now? Because we got some young freshmen, as I said, starting to swim a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Starting to grow up a little bit. And I thought, I could not be happier for the Good Shepherd. And by the way, you called a good night, a good game today, sir. What? But defense, let's get to you. You stepped up and made the play. You gave us some big yardage today, but you made the play in the clutch. And so, as a program, I could not be happier. And I'm asking a fan base right now, are you aboard the Hog Train? Because I've been on it for 4 decades, and I don't plan off getting on it anytime soon. And I'm going to tell you this. Tonight, we're seeing where this program is headed. We don't have all the pieces on the line yet. We don't have all the pieces on the defensive line yet, but it's coming. Let me tell you this. Coach Morris, you keep doing your job. Keep coaching. These players, get in that locker room. Get back in the conference player room and start studying film. Keep getting better. Don't listen to the negativity. Because I think your team can go to a bowl. Let me tell you this. Hope was answered tonight, and the bell was ringing. And I could not be happier. So, stay aboard the Hog Train and listen to this. They answer the bell. So, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Eddie. It's good to hear that bell because it's the first time we've heard it this season. And you rang it with some meaning. Got some listeners, by the way, that are a little nervous, as excited as you were, that you don't wreck while you're driving home. We got a text exactly from the 479. Greg in Fort Smith says, I hope Eddie doesn't wreck while he's on the phone driving home. I was just upset because Eddie, you know, forgot where he was for a moment. Usually, I've never heard him in a situation like that. So let's stay on that Cherokee Casino hotline, which remains open. Robbie in Virginia, you're on Hog Reaction.
Oh, my God. How you follow that? Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, Robbie, but I had to go to somebody next. You're up.
Phil, Ty, guys, hey. So I called in pregame, talked to John and Ty. So here's the thing. Yeah, I'm glad that we got a win. We had to because, I mean, I would have been hitting that panic button if we hadn't won the game. You know, at 34-34, I was getting a little nervous. I'm like, oh, boy. And we've got to find a way to win this game. We just can't have this happen to us. So I'm glad to see that, we answered the bell, if you will. And, we got it done. Here's the thing. This is a Mountain West team, and so the physicality that we're about to step into after the San Jose State game, we just don't need to get anybody hurt, because that SEC stretch, once we start playing A&M and we start progressing to the schedule, it's going to get very difficult. And then you'll see how much these guys on the edge have grown up. What I was excited to see is a guy who can deliver the ball down the field, stretching the defense, allowing the run game to follow in, you know, kind of in suit. If you, you know, Starkle has a, he's got a good trigger, and his ability to get to stretch the edge with Knox and Burks is definitely going to be a game changer in terms of being able to do more, you know, with less. So I think going forward, I mean, I still think that we're going to have some areas where we're going to have bumps in the road. And again, still haven't won a game against a Power 5 team, still haven't won a true road game. Today was a good win, but I like where we are possibly heading. Just still going to take a wait and see attitude with this team, because right now,
yeah, I mean,
you know, we got to win some real games. And we were favored by 10, and it was tied in the fourth quarter. So let's not jump on the bus saying that, you know, we're world beaters now. So we got to keep it in perspective, and just, you know, let's see this program head in the right direction. Right now, I still see we're just kind of we're getting there, but I want to see the bus fully moving forward.
It's a good call, Robbie, and we appreciate you dialing in there. I tell you what, Ty, I mean, Colorado State's defense doesn't appear to be very good. Colorado did run all over them, scored over 50 points as well. I don't know what you'll see next weekend from San Jose State, and maybe you're not going to put up, you know, 55 points, or you could look at it 48 points offensively against a good SEC defense. Maybe not, but I tell you what I saw today. I saw a quarterback that can make a lot of difficult throws, fit it into some windows. I saw some receivers in Trey Knox and Treylon Burks that can catch almost anything that's within the catch radius. You saw C.J. O'Grady make, I think, one of, you know, probably the best play of his career, an offensive line that blocked for Nick Starkle, that opened some holes for Rakeem Boyd and Devon Whaley. I think you'd expect to see the same thing next weekend against San Jose State. But I don't know if that plays against Texas A&M when you head to Dallas in a couple of weeks.
Greg and Fort Smith points out on the Cherokee Casino hotline, no interceptions, and that's a good sign. You also put up the highest total in the Chad Morris era at 55 points, what you did last year against Eastern Illinois. You have two running backs in Rakeem Boyd and Dabo Awele go for over 200 yards today, which is a positive. To Robbie's point, yes, that's what I opened the show with. It's a Mountain West team. You got to pick it up. Fans needed something positive. Like there was only so much we could say to this point about the offense getting started. It finally got kicked started today. The only problem is, Phil, the Alabama game, you got 65 thrown up on you, and then this game you got 34. Now, it wasn't as big of a deal because the offense took over late in the fourth quarter and you got that defensive touchdown, but it kind of worries me a little bit. Your two biggest offensive outputs in the Chad Morris era, your defense didn't show up. That can't happen moving forward. We talked about how Mike Leach has had the ability to outscore teams at this point. Yes, you hope that Chad Morris eventually gets to that, but there's not enough talent on this team right now where you can outscore someone every week. It needs to be a three-pronged game. You need to get some help from your offense. You need to get some help from your defense. And the special teams has to be better as well.
We want more of your reaction. It is Hog Reaction. 877-377-6963 is the Cherokee Casino hotline. Come and hear the feel-good tunes of Uncle Cracker September 26th in Lee Creek Tavern at Cherokee Casino and Hotel. We'll take a break. We have your phone calls and your text. We'll also have some looks around the SEC and top 25 on the Bud Light scoreboard. It's Hog Reaction after Arkansas picks up their second win of the year, 55-34 over Colorado State. We'll be back after this.
Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light, broadcasting live from the Cherokee Casino Mobile Studios.
Arkansas wins 55-34 over Colorado State with a huge fourth quarter, breaking a 34-34 tie with 21 unanswered points. Your phone calls and your texts are coming up on the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Let's go to that hotline right now. Matt in Dallas, you're on Hog Reaction.
Yes, guys, I tell you, the complete night and day difference between Hicks and Starkle is unreal. You know, the pocket presence for Starkle, all that. He stepped up and he made the offensive line look good and made those receivers get open. just swinging it.
Yeah, and you're right. He throws it at the right time. He's got, a perfect spiral. It's a beautiful ball that comes out of his hand. You saw him able to fit it into tight windows, lead receivers at the right spot. And I think you got the right receivers, too, in Trey Knox, Treylon Burks, that can, these are kids that can catch anything that's around them. I think we saw points today where the athleticism comes into play, but also really good hands came into play.
Yes, those guys can catch a square with a triangle, I tell you. They're something else. But I tell you, I think now we're going to get in a bowl, baby. We're going to go to a bowl game.
Well, that is a highly optimistic outlook. You think that this does carry over into SEC play? You're not worried it's just a Mountain West team, and you think this would play against at least a couple of SEC teams, because you're going to need to win at least two SEC games to make it to a bowl.
We're going to shock A&M, we're going to shock Kentucky, and we're going to go down and we're going to cap it off with a win against Missouri.
All right. Well, that sounds good. All right, Matt. He's thinking optimistically, Ty. I don't think he's the only one. I don't know how many callers would think right now that it's a team that's bowling, but you continue to gain some confidence offensively. I think it's a team that could hang with some of the good SEC teams. Let's face it, though. You're going to have to win some shootouts.
So Matt was drinking the Kool-Aid, the exact same thing that Robbie was ushering listeners not to do. And I kind of have to pump the brakes, kind of like Robbie was. It's a Mountain West team. There should be a point in the Chad Morris era where you get to where you don't have a sigh of relief after being a Mountain West Conference team. The Vegas line should not be favored by 10. You should be favored by 27. That's the point that Chad Morris wants to get his program with. Yes, there was some great rapport with those wide receivers and Nick Starkle, and man, there was times that he just looked effortless throwing the football. But I heard a couple tonight. Can we stop with the Ryan Mallett comparisons? I talked to you about that earlier this week. I've heard that from listeners. I've heard that from fans. I've heard that from a lot of people. Can we just...
Chuck even made a slight comparison.
And I'm just... I cringe when I hear that, because, again, he does not need to be mentioned in the same sentence. Now, maybe down the stretch of his career, we'll see what happens. But right,
it's his first start. That's
exactly.
His first start at Arkansas.
So we heard Nick talking with Chuck Barrett after the game about playing with Trey Knox. And we talked about the video that he put out earlier this season, him just playing pitch and catch with Trey, and they seem to have good chemistry. He mentioned to Chuck and Quinn and Gino and the guys at the IMG postgame, anytime he's got one-on-one, I'm throwing him the football. So Colorado State scores two plays in. There's a collective groan from the fan base in watching the game in or out of the stadium, because you're just like, man, here we go again. And then three or four or five plays later, Nick Starkle drives him back and throws an effortless fade route to Trey Knox, all 6'5 of Trey Knox, who goes up and mosses his cornerback. That's the advantage you have. That's the type of wide receiver build that Chad Morris wanted to get on campus, where you just have guys that can go up and make a play. How many times did Justin Ross of Clemson make a play last year against those Alabama DBs just by being bigger, faster, taller, and stronger? I mean, that is what the wide receiver like skill set Chad Morris wants, and he's got it right now, and it's early in Treylon Burks, Trey Knox, and some of these other guys that he's brought in, TQ Jackson, Shamar Nash. We'll see kind of what they do in there later in his careers, but that's the type he wants, where he can just tell his quarterback, you got one-on-one coverage, Phil? Trust your guy. Let all 6'5 of them go up and make a play, and that's what Trey Knox did on several occasions tonight.
Ryan in Bartlesville is excited for the Starkle and Boyd storyline in 2 weeks going against Texas A&M. I think that'll be a lot of fun to pay attention to. Tucker in Sherwood agrees with you and agrees with Robbie. Ty, he says, don't need to start gulping the Kool-Aid. Responded in the fourth quarter, just one of the many dominoes needed to fall. Defense has to be better. He looks at the gap assignments and setting the edge. Still a lot of growing up to do. He's probably right about that as well. And another text from the 479. Alan Sentrinson is proud that Arkansas is undefeated on the new grass field.
That's true.
That is very true. Let's go to the phone lines. Cherokee Casino Hotline. Matt in Mansfield, you're on Hog Reaction.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Matt. It's fun to talk about a win today, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about it, guys. Hey, we're headed back from Fayetteville, guys. me and my friend was talking here. We think that we finally found our quarterback, and we're glad that Chad Morris has his bromance over with Ben Hicks, got him put on the bench where he belongs. But our defense has got to get it picked up, and John Chavis did a good job of adjusting our defense at halftime and slowed that running game down. But the first half, we watched the whole game. They run the ball all over us and had their way with us. Our linebackers loaded the box, and they still had their way with us. But after halftime, Chavis come out, and he slowed that down for the most part. Just looking forward to what we're going to do against San Jose State. Every week, this Arkansas team gets better. And I'm telling you, don't give up on Chad Morse yet. He's our leader. We're going to be all right. I'm not saying we're going to go bowling, but, guys, we're going to be all right. Thanks for giving me the time. Woo, Pig Sue, go Tigers.
Absolutely. You look at the numbers for Colorado State, and they ran for 252 yards. On 38 carries, an average of 5.8, had the one big run, Kinsey's 75-yarder over left guard on the second play from scrimmage, and McElroy ran a 34-yarder. So a couple of the big plays on the ground for Colorado State. That's I wouldn't put it at the bulk of the 252 yards. They were able to move it, and Bumper Poole was in a sling. His arm is in a sling after the game today. So one strength at your linebacking core. We'll see. Chad Morris said they're not going to evaluate that today. Scooter Harris had a great game. 12 total tackles to lead both teams. And Cameron Curl from that safety spot, 9 tackles, 7 of them solos, and did leave for a little bit but came back and was able to continue to play. Cherokee Casino Hotline open. John in Flippin, you're on Hog Reaction.
Yeah, I'm from Iowa originally, and I'm down here for the last 10 years, and I listen to the games just because I'm down here, and I'm somewhat of a fan. But I believe after today's game, all they got to do is just keep believing in themselves, and I think they'll do all right. I believe that your quarterback in Starkle is going to be your best bet, and the rest of the team, I believe, has a lot of faith in him. And after your next game, if you can just keep going, I believe that you are going to win some games that you should not. There are games you are not going to win, but the rest of it, I think you're going to win games that you are not predicted to win. So, I mean, I mean, I've been an Iowa fan, and we've had our ups and downs. And listen, you guys, I know it was 2-10 last year. I believe you easily could go 6-6 this year. I believe that you could do better than that. And I just wish the fans down here weren't so up and down and so easy to get down on the Hogs. But, you know, it is what it is. You always got to stick with your team.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you got the longest, if I remember that correctly, you got Kirk Ferentz, who's the longest tenured coach in college football. And if you're an Iowa fan, man, you guys, I think unless the score's not updated, you're in a barn burner right now in Ames, Iowa, 17-15, as we look at our Bud Light scoreboard. And kind of to Phil's point, hey, John, thanks for the call, man, to John's point, Phil, I think fans here at Arkansas, I think he brings up certain points. I think fans can be fair weather here at times, and then they can be up and down. But you just, for the football program, there hasn't been any ups these last few years, right? There hasn't been any ups and downs. It's been all downs, right?
Look, I mean, I also think it's human nature in some cases to be a front runner. I don't know if that's the right term, or jump on the bandwagon. Look, if you jumped off at all over the last couple of years, you have your reasons why. And a lack of excitement is one of those reasons why. This was an exciting game, no matter who it is that you played against. You played against a Mountain West team that can generate some points, and you outscored them 21-0 in the fourth quarter. For a fan base that is thirsting for wins, yes, relevance in the SEC, yes, but just excitement at the same time. This was an exciting win. Revel in it. Let's not worry too much about how it stands against the rest of the SEC. We'll worry about that in a couple of weeks. when Arkansas plays a real SEC team and a real good one at that in Texas A&M. We'll step aside for a break. Your calls and texts coming up on the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Get with us after Arkansas beats Colorado State 55-34 on Hog Reaction.
Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light, broadcasting live from the Cherokee Casino Mobile Studios.
Phil Elson and Ty Richardson with you here for Hog Reaction. Brenton Jennings is on the phone, brought to you by Cherokee Casino and Hotel. Every Saturday in September, light up the night with their fabulous $68,000 Vegas Nights. We also appreciate our affiliates right now, 96.3 in Hot Springs, 99.5 in Northwest Arkansas, 104.3 in Harrison, and 95.3 in the River Valley. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Joe in Van Buren, you're on Hog Reaction.
Yeah, hey, this is Joe. Just some concerns there on the defense. I mean, I know Colorado State, they're way better than what they were in the past, but we give up that many points, and that's what I have. We cannot contain let them score 33 points or whatever they scored this year. It's just, I don't know. Our offense is fine, but we just cannot contain on the defense.
All right, Joe, it's a good phone call. Tell you what, I mean, there's some truth to that. Defensively, you had some struggles against Ole Miss. There's no doubt about that. There were struggles today, though. This is a defense that they're going to have some trouble stopping the rush in the SEC. They got some playmakers, though. It's a defense that does take the ball away, two fumble recoveries, now. And so that was in today's game. I'd say it is a defense that has some guys that will go up and make some plays for you every once in a while.
I think Joe brings up a good point. The running quarterbacks has been an issue for Arkansas since John Chavis. They're not just John Chavis, but running quarterbacks are usually a hindrance in any defensive coordinator's game plan. And Arkansas's got to face some coming up. You got Kellen Mond, you got Bo Nix, you got Tua, you got, we'll see, Schrader, Tommy Stevens, Mississippi State. Joe Burrow has running ability, and then Kelly Bryant. So it's not like the dual threat quarterback is just going to all of a sudden stop in its tracks. Arkansas has a few more they have to face off against, and they're going to be better than Colin Hill. You feel for the kid because it looks like he tore his ACL again, but they're going to be better than Colin Hill, Phil. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, whatever happens in the future, Arkansas does get their second win of the season today and their first win against an FBS opponent since the Tulsa game in the middle of last October. So celebrate it while you can. Hawks do get another Mount West team next Saturday, 6:30, San Jose State. But for now, we're talking 55-34. The Hogs defeat Colorado State at Reynolds Razorback Stadium today. You're tuned in to Hog Reaction. It's 877-377-6963 to get with us. We'll be back for the top of the hour after this break.
The only show where you can give your postgame takes on the air. Call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Our reactions, your reactions, all the reactions start right now.
Welcome inside the Cherokee Casino studios. Phil Elson, Ty Richardson, Brenton Jennings is on the phones. Don't forget to start your weekend off right. Join Cherokee Casino and Hotel Fridays for a chance to win your share of $4,500 cash. And that hotline is open for a call or a text, 877-377-6963. Arkansas outscores Colorado State 21-0 in the fourth quarter. The Razorbacks put up a total of 520 yards of offense. Nick Starkle with 305 yards in the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. First Razorback under Chad Morris to pass for over 300 yards. The last one to do it was Austin Allen in the Missouri game in 2017, which, of course, was also the last game that was coached by Brett Bielema. We have some news going on around the SEC. On the Bud Light scoreboard, and a terrible-looking injury occurred, tied to Felipe Franks. The quarterback for the Florida Gators looked like a right leg injury and was carted off the field with Florida trailing. Now Kyle Trask as the quarterback, and Florida is trying to come back down early in the fourth quarter to Kentucky, 21-16. So Kentucky a chance to make it 2 years in a row after losing 31 straight to their in-state rivals, the Florida Gators.
A game that not a lot of people thought they were going to win, like at all, or have a chance in, for that matter. But so props to Stoops for getting his boys ready.
Other scores, we do have finals in the SEC on the Bud Light scoreboard. Tua Tagovailoa throws for 444 yards and five touchdowns. Alabama wins at South Carolina 47-23. Ole Miss, a 40-29 win over Southeastern Louisiana. Scotty Phillips gained just over 100 yards. Elijah Moore, 7 catches, 88 yards and a touchdown. Rebels pick up their second win of the year. Georgia blanks Arkansas State, 55-0. Jake Fromm with 3 touchdown passes in that ball game. And Dominic Blaylock caught 4 balls for 112 yards and 1 touchdown. Arkansas State gets shut out and were held to just 220 yards. Georgia gained 656 yards total to pick up that victory. Kansas State, the upset win on the road at Mississippi State. Bulldogs fall to 2-1, 31-24, the final score. Tommy Stevens was benched in the second half of that ball game. That's the only other team in the SEC that's made a change of quarterback other than Arkansas because of ineffectiveness.
Yeah, health. Well, he had health issues too. They were concerned because he didn't know if he was going to play in that game. And I think Joe Moorhead ultimately decided it was better. I think Schrader, is that how you pronounce their backup?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think that they were, just felt like he was better off fully healthy to supplement him in there.
Other games that are, well, here's another final. Tennessee blanks Chattanooga, 45-0, first win of the year for the Vols. Two games in progress, both close. Well, one's a blowout, one's close to it. LSU, no trouble at home against Northwestern State, 37-14. And Missouri has put up 40-0 over Southeast Missouri midway through the third. Auburn, a 48-16 lead over Kent State. Booby Whitlow has gained 135 yards on the ground and a couple of the touchdowns as the Tigers lead the Golden Flashes in the middle of the fourth quarter. And Texas A&M, 54-3 over Lamar. Kellen Mond, 20 for 28, 317 yards. Isaiah Spiller, now full-time running back for A&M, 116 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. So that's what's going on around the SEC. And then, of course, we're still paying attention to Kentucky, Florida, 21-16 Wildcats lead, and a big 3rd-and-11 right now near the 50-yard line for the Florida Gators. So no real upsets across the SEC, but you might have one that's in the offing right now at Kroger Field in Lexington.
So, Phil, let's go ahead and lay out the rest of Arkansas' schedule remaining. You get San Jose State next week, then you travel to Dallas to take on Texas A&M in Arlington. You get the bye, you get Kentucky after that in Lexington, then you get Auburn back at home, travel to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama, then come back to Fayetteville to take on Mississippi State, Western Kentucky in Fayetteville, bye week, LSU in Baton Rouge, and Mizzou in Little Rock to close out the season. So, theoretically, and I think that most people believe that Arkansas is going to win next week after the performance they've been put on today, because San Jose State is a lesser program, or about equal to, than Colorado State, I would say. Both Mountain West schools. You're probably going to head in that Texas A&M game 3-1. Phil, I'll put this to you. If they win pretty emphatically next week, you think there's any chance Hog fans believe that they can go down to Dallas and finally manage a win? A win that's escaped them every year since 2012, since they took on the Aggies? And I'm talking about the perspective of the fan base. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm just talking about what the fans are going to think heading into that
football game. I absolutely do. We've had 2 or 3 phone calls today of people that are already on that train. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. And look how close last year's team was to pulling it off against A&M. Admittedly, the Aggies are better this year than I think they were last season. But Arkansas also is, I think, a better team than they were last year. You never know what will happen in that ball game, but chances usually are it turns out with a heartbreaking finish for Arkansas in the end.
And again, there's 3 dynamics you got to point to in that football game. We'll start with the head football coach. That's his alma mater. two other guys on that football field. That's where they started their careers. Mm-hmm. How bad do you think Nick Starkle, Rakeem Boyd, and Chad Morris want to get that dub down in Dallas, Texas? I mean, there's going to be a little extra incentive and a little extra push from those three specifically. It's not like the entire football team is going to be not giving their all because they know how painful these Aggie losses have been the last few years. But if you look at those three guys individually, man, they really want to beat those Aggies down in Dallas, Texas, and Jerry World.
Well, you're facing a San Jose State team next week that is 1-1 with a victory over FCS Northern Colorado and then a loss against the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. It's a team that has allowed over 410 yards per game offensively, and to me would seem to be the sort of team that Arkansas can maybe put up somewhat of the same numbers that they put up today, have that opportunity to do, and with another week of learning the playbook for Nick Starkle and how to implement it with these receivers that he's got, I got to imagine we're going to see even more creativity. And I hope that Chad Morris doesn't get into the habit of giving us the weekly update of percentage of the playbook that's being implemented. But what was it supposed to be? He even mentioned on his radio show this week on Wednesday that it was going to be about 25 to 30%, that it was on Nick Starkle that the quarterback was comfortable with bringing into the game. You got to imagine you're going to see some more things next week. So then by the time you're playing Texas A&M, this is going to be an offense that theoretically, if things go according to plan next week, will be in full gear, confident in the plays that they're running, how to do it. And so who knows what happens against A&M at that point. Admittedly, that's a Texas A&M team that went into Clemson, lost, but only gave up 24 points. That's a great Texas A&M defense. So I guess my message is let's just take it one game at a time and see what happens.
Mike Elko knows what he's doing on that side of the football. You hope that the offense picks it up even more. You get some more confidence after a potential win against San Jose State next week in Fayetteville, and then you can maybe propel that into at least playing competitively against the Aggies. Phil, to your point about the offensive implementation, what would fans take right now after what you saw today? The supposed 30% that Nick Starkle knows the offense?
Or whatever it was that they saw right now.
Or the 70 or some odd percent that Ben Hicks knew. And
that's right.
I think every single person listening right now would rather see what was showcased today on the football field than we saw in the first 2 weeks. And I'm not trying to pile on Ben Hicks, but it was just evident of the difference today. It doesn't matter how much the offense is implemented. I know that Chad Morris would love for him to be able to call any play, any scheme, any orientation of his offense in the playbook. But the offense can look anything like it did today. And I'm not talking about kind of how you drowned out the end of the first half and kind of were a no-show in the third quarter. But for the majority of that football game, the offense looked pretty good. And you hope that that wasn't just a fluke. That was putting Nick Starkle in the football game, and that's what he opens up with the offense, because he wasn't flawless today, but he made some plays that Ben Hicks couldn't. And I think you're excited about the potential moving forward. And that's the key word now, Phil. It's potential. It's not the absolute. You don't absolutely know that Nick Starkle is going to be able to be this type of quarterback moving forward, but at least you saw the potential today. And that's what fans have been looking for with this offense since Chad Morris arrived on campus. And there's been two instances, Alabama and today. And that's why they're happy after today's win. Not because they necessarily, it was the win itself, but also the way they looked on the offensive side of the football, Phil.
Well, it was good to see Nick Starkle stay upright for almost the entire game. Got sacked once. He even said on the postgame show that he didn't remember being hit. So, I mean, he didn't have a lot of pressure on him. And so for what had been a much maligned offensive line for the first 2 weeks of the season, it was a very well-played game. Interesting to see that true freshman Ricky Stromberg got the start at left guard with Austin Capps still healthy and available to play. I know eventually Capps did get in there. Stromberg played well with the exception of that one false start. But that got people going, but that's not the one thing to remember from this game for Ricky Stromberg. This is a kid that played a very, very good game today.
I know DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback, who was the color commentator on the SEC Network, brought up how he mauled one of the Colorado State defensive lineman. I think it might have been on the DeVoe Whaley touchdown. It was either DeVoe or Rakeem Boyd that they blew in and got that TD, and he mentioned that. That's a young kid doing what he's supposed to do. But to your point, the false start on a 4th-and-1 that Nick Starkel picked up on the QB sneak, that's got to get shored up by the time you get into SEC play, because we know time and time again, when it comes to the Texas A&M game, it's Arkansas that makes the one or two mistakes that cost them the football game. You have to play almost mistake-free football against the Aggies to exonerate the pain and suffering that you felt against those SOBs the last couple years.
And looking at the penalties for today's game, Arkansas flagged 5 times, 49 yards. Two of those were on Joe Fouché for a pass interference call, and then the roughing the passer on the low hit that took out Hill, the Colorado State quarterback. He had to feel for him, man, for a guy. And I know you, Ty, you've had the ACL injury before. For someone that had that surgery twice and to go down the way he did on that very same knee, I know Fouché Fouché got tripped up and pushed. There might have been one movement when he hit the ground that he made towards the quarterback, but it didn't look to me like he was trying to go at the knee, but he ended up hitting the knee. He was two of the flags right there out of the five. So pretty, for the most part, a fairly good disciplined game played by Arkansas. Plus the big plays. I don't know when the term chunk play was introduced into football terms, but chunk plays. If you're looking at a pass play that's 15 yards or more, or a run play that is 10 yards or more, Arkansas had 12 of these chunk plays. 5 rushing plays of 10 yards or more, which of course included Rakeem Boyd's 59-yarder right over the middle. But Boyd also ran another one for 10. DeVoe Whaley had a 25-yarder, a 24-yarder, and Chase Hayden ran for 15 yards. And then 7 pass plays of 15 yards or more, 4, 5 of them of 20 yards or more. The 62-yarder from Nick Starkel to Cheyenne O'Grady, of course, is the one that's going to be, that's top 10 quality, right, for SportsCenter, Ty? Don't you think when you break like 6 or 7 tackles and it looked for sure O'Grady was going down by the near sideline from our vantage point on television, that's got to be a top 10 play.
No, 100%. I mean, to go over what he did again, there were 5 defenders surrounding him. I thought the University of Arkansas football account put up a fantastic picture about he scored on this play, and that's exactly what he did. There was at least 6 or 7 missed tackles that he was able to break through. John and I were watching the conclusion of the game, and he brought up a good point. That's the best Arkansas play since what? I mean, and there's not. You know what's painful about that? There's nothing that comes directly to mind. You genuinely have to think about not just this past season, not just this season, not just this past season, but the past couple of years. Pointed out 2017, Connor Lippert's game-winning field goal against Ole Miss, but that wasn't just a spectacular play. That was, I believe, a 37-yard field goal for Connor Lippert. I might be a little off on the down and distance, but I think that was it. So there really hasn't been a just incredible play. Maybe people say the Rakeem Boyd touchdown against Ole Miss in Little Rock, but you ended up losing that game, so there's more painful memories that came out of that football game than good ones. But I thought John made a great point. That's the best play since when? And it's not an easy question to answer, Phil.
You mentioned Connor Lippert, and for all the big plays Arkansas made, 54-yard field goal near the end of the first quarter. I mean, it's not a play that wins you a game, but that's something that'll stick in the back of anybody's mind. If you got a tight ball game near the end, and you got a chance to let Connor Lippert tie it or win it for you, 54 yards with room to spare. I mean, that looked like a 60-yarder, if not even more than that, off of that leg. That was an impressive kick for Connor Lippert, who goes 2 for 2, made the chip shot at 22, but the 54-yarder that if you saw it, you'll remember it for sure.
Again, the all-time percentage leader, Arkansas football history. Connor Lippert, not Zach Hawker, not Steve Little. There's always another kicker for Arkansas that I forget his name. If someone could text that in for me, that'd be great. 877-377-6963. But it just goes to show that this guy has been one of the few, if not the only, bright spot on Arkansas special teams the last couple years, Phil.
Ty just gave you the number, and that is the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Go and hear the feel-good tunes of Uncle Cracker September 26th in Lee Creek Tavern at Cherokee Casino and Hotel. That number for a call or a text, 877-377-6963. Only have one more segment to get with us and give us your reaction on Hog Reaction. We'll be right back.
Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light, broadcasting live from the Cherokee Casino Mobile Studios.
Back inside our Cherokee Casino Studios to wrap up Hog Reaction. Don't forget, you can start your weekend off right Fridays at Cherokee Casino and Hotel with a chance to win your share of $4,500 cash. Phil Elson here, Ty Richardson. Brenton Jennings is on the phones. 877-377-6963 is the Cherokee Casino hotline phone number. Ben is on with us. Ben in Fayetteville, you're on Hog Reaction.
Yeah, how you guys doing today, man? I thought it was a good game. I think Starkle really solidified what we were all, what all the fans knew, that he should have been the starter probably from the beginning. The one thing that I kind of the head scratcher that I didn't really understand was after the game they had the interview, you know, Morris was coming off the field saying that this was a big win for the program. And I mean, it was a win, but it was against a Colorado State team that had lost their quarterback. And I mean, Colorado State is not really a Power Five team by any means. So, I mean, do you think this is a little bit of, I hate to say it, but a little bit of fool's gold? I think they, you know, they'll beat San Jose State, and then you go back into the SEC. Sure, you got some confidence, but I think confidence sometimes is overshadowed by reality.
Your point is very well taken. I mean, you have to, it's like you said against the Portland State game, anything that was positive from that game, you had to take with a grain of salt. But it is a win against a Division I FBS team. And I don't want to sound precious about it. I really don't. I don't want to sound precious about it because I know it's not an SEC team. A performance like this where you give up, a lot of yardage on the ground, 252 yards on the ground, 34 points, absolutely. It doesn't mean that you are going to start looking like a competitor in the SEC West. But it does, what you saw today, the thing that we wanted to see more than anything else, I thought, aside from a win, is to see the offense start to generate some plays, start to generate some tempo, some confidence, to see a quarterback who looks the part. And for me today, I think that's what I saw. And I think what you heard in Chad Morris's voice, maybe more than anything else, was relief. Relief to get a little bit of a monkey off his back of haven't picking up a Division I FBS win since last October.
Phil, we have not mentioned tempo, that word, about an hour and 25 minutes into this broadcast. But we saw it tonight. And you saw the effect on the defense that it can have if run the correct way and if the offense is flowing. Now, it didn't, again, the entirety of the game, it didn't. But at times, the Arkansas offense looked potent. And you can't say that it has in quite some time. That's what you have to be excited about. I know, to Ben's point, it's still a lesser team, not a Power 5 team, Colorado State team that you should be expected to beat pretty handedly, but you still got the win, you saw some of the offense, and you finally saw some tempo. I think Arkansas fans should take a lot more positives than negatives out of this football game.
And we'll see what happens next Saturday against San Jose State, 6:30 airtime. That'll get the IMG Learfield pregame show at 3:30. Arkansas game day at 1:30, and of course we'll be talking it all week long on ESPN Arkansas. Thanks for tuning in to Hog Reaction. Arkansas wins 55-34. Have yourself a great weekend.